This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Police have found no new clues as they continue searching Idaho's Snake River for a missing Utah girl who was allegedly kidnapped by her grandmother. Kelly Jean Laudmel has been charged with murder in connection with the girl's disappearance. Idaho Falls Police Sergeant Steve Hunt says detectives believe Laudmel tried to take the toddler's life as well as her own in the river.
Can't say 100% surely that the baby's not somewhere else. Certainly we hope that that's the case, and we'd love to find out that the baby's alive and well somewhere else. But at this point, we have every reason to believe that the baby went into the water.
A pair of baby shoes, a doll, and one of the women's shoes was found near the river. Detectives are looking into the possibility that another person may have been involved in the kidnapping. Federal charges may also be filed against Laudmel in connection with the toddler's disappearance. The woman is believed to have a history of mental illness. The autopsy, the arrest, and search warrants connected to the Scott Peterson case will remain sealed for now. Peterson is accused of killing his pregnant wife, Lacey, and their unborn child. The judge presiding over Peterson's double murder trial postponed today any ruling on whether the documents should be released to the media. However, Judge Al Girolami told lawyers he's inclined to keep the paperwork under court seal for now.
The items are going to remain under seal so that both the prosecution and the defense can continue to investigate this case.
That's Peterson's defense lawyer, Mark Garagos. An attorney for the media says California law requires the judge to release documents. Judge Girolami did make one ruling today. He decided the tape recordings of phone conversations between Peterson and his legal team must be turned over to the defense team.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
A British explorer has finally been airlifted from the North Pole a week after he became stranded there. Penn Haddow successfully reached the pole unsupported from Canada, but then bad weather meant he couldn't get back. Suzanne Chislett reports.
It was a 478-mile trek that saw him walk in strong winds and at times swim in freezing waters in order to achieve his goal of becoming the first person to reach the geographic North Pole from Canada unaided. But having completed his challenge, the 41-year-old had little time to celebrate. His satellite phone batteries died, he was running out of food and living in a tent which was floating on ice. But bad weather meant a plane could not reach him to fly him out. Now Penn Haddow has finally been picked up, and his team back at base and family in England can finally begin the celebrations. Suzanne Chislett, London.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
A new earthquake has rocked Algeria. First reports from state radio say the tremor measured 5.8 in magnitude and was powerful enough to cause buildings to collapse. This comes nearly 1 week after a killer 6.7 magnitude quake struck. The official death toll from that disaster has risen just above 2,200 and injured more than 9,000. Residents are still attempting to clear the rubble of fallen buildings and find over 1,000 people who remain missing. Angry survivors have accused the Algerian government of failing to help provide them with help. They also blame leaders for failing to crack down on shoddy construction practices. Hundreds of homes collapsed during the quake. Stocks soared higher today as Wall Street cheered a round of upbeat economic reports. The Dow Jones gained 179 points and finished at 8781. The Nasdaq was up 46 points to 1556. The S&P 500 gained 18 points to 951. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Well, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. If you're listening on the IE America Radio Network, welcome. Sirius Satellite Channel 145, Radio Left, welcome. WhiteRoseSociety.org, welcome. RadioPower.org, welcome. Program tonight is always produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937. Or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. And we sure do invite you to go to MikeMalloy.com, go to the website, and check out all the activity there. The chat room is open, Kathy, is that right? Okay. There are several different posting forums if you'd like to participate in that. So help yourself. Even you sick, psychopathic right-wingers are welcome for a while, till we get tired of you, and then we'll just block you. It's not that we get tired of you. It's just that we get tired of the lies and the Rush talk and the Bush speak and, you know. If you are wondering what country is next on the invasion list, we have a few clues thanks to Ari Fleischer and the Sunday talk shows. Now, everything's going to be discombobulated tonight because we were all off yesterday. Were you off? We were off. And I keep thinking this is Monday, and of course it isn't. But Ari Fleischer gives us a hint a little later in the program. And since Ari is not going to have the crack White House press corps to kick around too much longer, and we are not going to have Ari to kick around too much longer, we shall provide you with 8 or 10 of his quotes, or 6 or 7 of his quotes a little bit later on tonight during the 5 o'clock follies, which could come at any time. Oh, and by the way, this Friday, we're going to do away with the Bush Free Fridays. It's just not working. All right? You understand what I mean. I can't do it. I just simply can't do it. We're going to try to keep Fridays on a more open basis, but no more Bush-free Fridays. I'll pause while the roar of approval goes up from the audience. But we are having something a little special this Friday in terms of bumper music. It's going to be a salute to Kevin Kinney and Drivin' and Cryin', possibly the best band you've never heard of. Now, I know a lot of people have heard of Drivin' and Cryin'. They had a couple of record deals with Island Records. But this Friday, Kevin Kinney music, Drivin' and Cryin'. So put that down in your notepad, right? A couple of stories from Bush's America as we work our way into the program tonight. This is from both of these are from Florida. Maybe you saw this in Fort Myers, Florida. In their never-ending quest against crime, the police moved into the drive-in window at a McDonald's there. Huh? The drive-through window, I should say. They dressed up like McDonald's employees, and then they worked the drive-through window. They were looking for wrongdoing. Do you like that term? Wrongdoing inside customers' cars as they pulled up to get their Big Macs and their Big Brothers and their, you know, their shakes and fries and all that garbage food. Who eats at McDonald's? I'll tell you, if you eat at McDonald's, God, no, I used to work at McDonald's when I was a teenager. And I certainly have eaten my share of that filth that they pass out as food. But I got wise about 4 years ago. Stay away from those places. But anyway, the police now are invading McDonald's so they can look into your window and see if you have an open container of beer or maybe a joint laying in the ashtray or your kid isn't buckled up or you've got your Tech 9 laying on the seat next to you, whatever. So now they looked through the drive-through window at McDonald's to see what you're up to. There were six arrests as a result of this, 29 citations. But there's a problem here. It appears that the franchise holder of this McDonald's in the home office out in Oak Park, Oak Brook, Illinois. Where's the headquarters, Kathy? You know where the headquarters of McDonald's is. Is it Oak Brook, Oak Park? Oh, well, we'll come up with it here in a second. But nobody had given the police permission, apparently, that had the authority to give the permission. Apparently, some night manager, assistant manager at McDonald's who moved on to a better job, gave permission. And when you're an assistant manager at McDonald's, that doesn't mean anything. They give you the title assistant manager to stop you from getting time and a half when they work you 50 or 60 hours a week. Once you're an assistant manager, you then become management. And you're not on an hourly wage. You see, you know how that works. Okay. So anyway, in Fort Myers, Florida, they decided to stick cops in the window to peer into customers' vehicles as they stopped at the window where the money's exchanged, to, you know, see what they could see. They saw everything. People smoking doobies in plain view. People hadn't strapped their kids into safety seats. And the cops at the window would radio ahead. They had people say, you know, if you came out of the driveway and turned left or came out of the driveway and turned right, the cop at the window would immediately notify his cohorts down the road, and they'd pull these people over and pop them, right? What do you think of that? Now, a communications worker at McDonald's headquarters in Oak Brook, thank you, Illinois, declined to discuss the matter. She said, her name's Sheila Young. She said, this is not something we would be commenting on or should be commenting on because it is a police matter. And don't you just want to slap her senseless when she says that? Because, no, ma'am, it's not a police matter. It's a McDonald's matter because the cops were standing in your drive-through window. So it is a McDonald's matter. So what's next? You're going to go to Disney World and all the characters dressed up like Mickey and Minnie and Goofy and Pluto are actually going to be narcs or cops or somebody? I mean, where does this stop? Huh? Now, several local attorneys in Fort Myers, Florida said they saw nothing illegal about this kind of a sting, but they didn't like the sound of it. They didn't like the sound of it. You're going in for your Big Mac and you got a cop looking into your car? One defense attorney in the Fort Myers area said, people are going to say, I came here for a Big Mac, not Big Brother. This is Bush's America, chum. Big Mac, Big Brother, it doesn't make any difference. Now, the newspaper in Fort Myers who did the story interviewed some people who, who had used this particular McDonald's. They asked them, you know, what do you think of this? One person, Christina Gonzalez of Fort Myers, who's 24, says, I go there every morning for breakfast. I think it's ridiculous. McDonald's of all places. An undercover McDonald's worker. Well, in the first place, Christina, if you're 24 and you go there every morning for breakfast, you're going to be lucky if you see 34. So you ought to change your eating habits a little bit. Justin Bela, who's 17, said he eats there all the time, too. Here's another one that's going to die with, encrusted arteries by the time he's 35. But young Justin says, I totally agree with it. I got a lot of cops in my family. I believe in the law. There's nothing wrong with looking into people's cars. Now, you know, don't you just want to, you want to slap Justin too, don't you? You just want to say, Justin, you little moron, if you believe in the law, have you ever heard of the Constitution? That's kind of law, Justin. Like, you know, really, that's like law too, dude. You know, unreasonable search and seizure, Justin. Like, wow, man. Jesus. Okay, McDonald's. Now, how about this? This is also from Florida, Kissimmee, Florida, which is near the Orlando area. Cops down there are dressing up, undercover cops are dressing up as homeless people. And they watch for drivers running red lights or committing other traffic violations, like what, changing lanes without putting their turn signals on. Remember now, in Bush's America, there's no money for anything except endless war and his defense contractor buddies and his telecom buddies and his energy buddies. But as far as, you know, meeting the payroll on a city budget or a state budget, that's gone. That's long gone. That was gone when Gore's presidency was snatched away from him by these five thugs on the Supreme Court. So now it's a question of having to raise revenues. So these cops in Kissimmee, Florida, are dressing up like homeless people. It's called Operation Vagrant. Huh? Is that nice? These cops dress as homeless people, and then when they see a violation, they radio ahead to other officers who swoop down on those cars and write the tickets. Now, so far, it's gotten 171 drivers. This is a sting operation involving the Florida Highway Patrol, the Kissimmee Police, and the Osceola County Sheriff's Office. 171 drivers, most of whom ran red lights. Okay? And you know when you run a red light. Hey, officer, it was yellow. Each one of these carries an $83 fine. So what are we up to here? About 16 grand? You see how this works in Bush's America? Now, these undercover cops stood alongside the streets and gave indications they were vagrants. How did they do that? Well, they were pushing shopping carts, and they had on fake teeth with holes in them and tattered clothing. You know, just looking like, you know, homeless people. The executive director of the Homeless Services Network of Central Florida says, you know, it's kind of appalling. It really is. To disguise themselves as people whom the general public feel are visually offensive, right? We don't look at homeless people. Oh, look, Rebecca, there's a homeless person. Quick, look away. Don't look. Well, now it turns out you don't observe the homeless person. The homeless person may be observing you if you're driving through Kissimmee, Florida. Could be a cop. Could be a cop. So just a little bit more from Bush's America. Actually, Bush's Florida and Bush's America. Two Bushes, same family. They're very sick people, but cops in the cashier's window at McDonald's, that's kind of appropriate. I hope word gets out so people will say, well, screw this. I'm not going to eat there anymore. You know, anyone who still eats at McDonald's, oh, come on. Look, I know this stuff tastes good. I'm as addicted to salt and sugar and fat as you are. But you got to have discipline, right? You got to have some discipline, man. This stuff will kill you. It really, really will. You know what that special sauce is made from, don't you? We're at 800-TALK-YES. I just thought I would drop those two stories in for you, and now we're just going to drop out for a second and do some commercials, and we shall come back and get on to the serious issues at hand. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Golden arches and take away the trees. Need some ashes and ransom mayonnaise. Put everybody out the pasture and let the people graze. Make them all submissive and take away their drive. Be the sign of the crucifix for the burgers, shakes, and fries. Can't you see? McDonald's is the enemy.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into Tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Chris from New Mexico, welcome to Animal Talk. What's up?
I have a neighbor decided to release 12 piranha into a river up here in northern New Mexico. But I'm wondering, I think that's a crime, isn't it?
It's not a crime, but it's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't want the fish cops coming after you. Let me know.
But, I mean, could South American piranha survive?
Not in northern New Mexico. And as soon as he dumped the fish in there, they went into shock. They were dead. Now, there are people who have released piranha in Florida, and they are in the canals. They are actually breeding and growing, and Florida is turning into the piranha state.
But would you blame me if I don't go wading for a little while?
Don't worry about it. The only problem is that if you go wading, wear waders, because if not, your lucky charms are not going to be the same size they were when you get out of the water.
Thank you for the visual. And I'll talk to you later.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Got the flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. This has got to be this has to be a joke, right? I mean, this can't be true. Iraq's oil minister announced on Saturday that three oil production contracts signed by the Saddam Hussein regime with Russian and Chinese companies would be either terminated or frozen. Okay, now let's pause for a second. Iraq's oil minister? Iraq has an oil minister? Iraq doesn't have squat Iraqis are not allowed to wipe their butts unless they go to the nearest U.S. military garrison and get the bathroom tissue. So Iraq's oil minister has decided to cancel contracts with the Chinese and the Russians. Let me think now. Chinese and Russians. Oh, that's right. They didn't support the Bush crime family on the invasion of Iraq and the acquisition of Iraq's natural resources by U.S. and British oil companies. Now, the guy's name is, I'm not even going to try. It's got too many consonants in it. But he is the U.S.-appointed oil minister. Oh, okay. I get it. I'm sorry. For a minute there, I thought they meant a real Iraq oil minister. No, no. Mike, wake up. The U.S.-appointed Iraq oil minister. He has canceled the contracts with the Chinese and the Russians. My mistake. The U.S.-appointed oil minister said a contract with the Russian oil giant Lukoil had been terminated, while another contract with the Chinese company to develop Al Adab field had been frozen by mutual agreement. Now, back in the bad old days, when the murderous tyrant and owner of weapons of mass destructions, including nuclear bombs, aimed at the United States, and back in the bad old days when Saddam Hussein used to send wave after wave of terrorists to this country to bomb our trade towers and our Pentagon, way back then, French, Russian, and Chinese companies got the lion's share of the services and production contracts where it concerns oil. Not anymore, Bubala. Now they go to Halliburton and Kellogg, Brown, and Root, which is really the same thing. Dick Cheney. Oh, and Bechtel. George Shultz's old company. Russian, Chinese, and French. Har, har, har. You boys are out of here. Gone. Adios. Au revoir. So the U.S.-appointed Iraqi oil minister has canceled all the contracts with everybody except... well, you know. Now, there's a rationale for this canceling of the contracts, and it comes from Philip Carroll. He is the former Shell executive chosen by the Pentagon to advise Iraq's oil ministry. Are you following this? Are you really getting this? See, these bastards don't even bother spinning anymore. They don't bother with nothing. They just come out and lie. Well, guess what? The Iraqi oil minister announced today that all those contracts with the Chi-Coms and the Ruskies and the French are next. They're all being terminated. The Iraqi oil minister did that. However, the former Shell oil executive chosen by the Pentagon to advise the Iraqi oil minister said there was some doubt whether those contracts with the Chinese and the Russians, and soon the French, quote, gave the Iraqi people the full benefit of their oil wealth, end quote. So really, this is good news for the Iraqi people. Shell Oil is the former Shell executive appointed by the Pentagon to run Iraq's oil ministry is concerned that those previous contracts weren't good enough for the Iraqi never mind.
Now, the stock market holds the answer to why him, why here, why now, 'cause it's all about the price of
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
A week-old strike by West Virginia employees of the Adelphia Cable Company could spread, according to the Communications Workers of America. About 40 workers who supply cable services to residents of Morgantown, West Virginia, walked off the job May 22nd after rejecting their company's call for a freeze on wage increases. Since then, Adelphia workers in three other locations have authorized possible strikes, including 200 cable technicians in Los Angeles.
An Alaskan jury has found no evidence to justify a class action lawsuit brought on behalf of nearly 5,000 salmon fishermen against fish wholesalers and distributors who stood accused of conspiring to lower salmon prices over the last 10 years. Attorneys for the fishermen say the various processing and distribution companies shared price information, collaborated to drive down prices, and underpaid the fishermen for $1 billion of salmon. But the processors successfully argued that a global decline in salmon demand, coupled with competition from salmon farms, drove down the price. Not all fishermen lost in the case, though. A handful settled their claims before the lawsuit began and collected about $40 million between them.
The Service Employees International Union's Justice for Janitors campaign has scored a lot of victories this year, from securing health coverage for Washington, D.C.'s janitors to winning a nearly 40% wage increase for the workers who clean the office buildings of Los Angeles. But a similar campaign in Denver, Colorado, appears ready to hit a brick wall. The 2,000 janitors with SEIU Local 105 are looking to win health care in a city where 9 out of 10 janitors have no health insurance. But negotiators representing cleaning contractors say they want to end union representation for workers in many of the city's smaller office buildings. That leaves a lot of ground to cover before the union's contract expires on Saturday, though the union has ruled out a strike, at least for now.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired,
pathetic.
Too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why don't
me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Okay, here's the last one. This is from the You're Not Going to Believe This section of the Malloy program. You know, all the stuff about the missing Democrats down in Austin, Texas. When was it? A week, 10 days ago? It seems like a million years ago, doesn't it? All the missing Democrats because the Republicans in Texas, under orders from Tom DeLay in Washington to violate the law and go ahead and do some redistricting to make sure that Democrats did not get elected to the Texas delegation to the U.S. House of Representatives. And, you know, so the Democrats said, to hell with this, and they split, went across the state line to Ardmore, Oklahoma, yada, yada, yada. You know the whole story, right? And you also know that there were cries and whispers about, let's have an investigation. Let's find out what really happened here. Tom DeLay dictating Texas politics. A.B. also misusing the Homeland Security division of Bush's America to track down the Democratic members of the Texas State House. And on and on and on and on and on. Okay, so they asked for an investigation. The Democrats down in Texas, we've got to have an investigation. I think a few Democrats on the federal level are asking the same thing. This is utter and absolute violation of the law, but these are Republicans breaking law, so it really doesn't matter. Okay, that's the story. Here's the crazy part. This is just, I mean, you're going to laugh, choke, get sick, pissed off, I don't know, something. But Texas state police officials yesterday blamed a faulty duplication machine for a five-hour gap in a Capitol state capitol security tape that was given to a House committee down there investigating how authorities handled the Democratic walkout. Right? You ready? Okay. Now, Representative Kevin Bailey, a Democrat from Houston, is chairman of the House General Investigating Committee, and they're trying to conduct an investigation to find out what kind of chicanery went on, what kind of law-breaking occurred by these Republicans, was committed by these Republicans. And Bailey's committee is looking into how the Texas Department of Public Safety coordinated its search for these 55 missing Democrats on May 12th, and whether anyone associated with U.S. House Majority Leader Tom DeLay helped direct the search, and why Department of Public Service officials ordered some records on the issue destroyed on May 14th. You know, all that stuff, right? Well, as part of the probe here, part of the investigation, Representative Bailey had asked the Department of Public Service, that's the cops, public safety, I should say, to turn over Capitol security videotapes for the hallway outside of House Speaker Tom Craddock's office, right? There's cameras all over in Bush's America. So they said, well, give us that. We want to see who walked in and out of Craddock's office. Now, a Department of Public Safety command post was set up in Craddock's reception room, and Representative Bailey said he wants to know who went in and out of that room. Okay? So the Department of Public Safety in Texas provided Bailey and his staff with copies of the security tapes on Friday. As the staff watched them over the weekend, the entire week was available except for that fateful afternoon of May 12th. The tapes stopped at 12:47 p.m. and did not begin again until 6 p.m. Bailey said, "It's odd that it was the day and time that we wanted. It's fine all week, except for that one period." Time to slap Representative Kevin Bailey a little, slap him around a little bit too, right? What do you mean it's odd? You're dealing with Republicans. A spokesman for the Department of Public Safety, Tom Vinger, him again, said, "It's a simple malfunction. It's just a malfunctioning tape thing there." You know, Nixon did this, right? Remember the 16-minute gap? Was it a 16-minute gap or whatever it was? And his poor secretary, what was her name? Rose McGonigal. I don't know what the hell her name was. It really doesn't matter. But remember when Nixon said, you know, the smoking gun was on that 16-minute, 16-and-a-half-minute gap in the audio tape way back in prehistoric times when Nixon, you know, built his own gallows? So here they are, Rosemary Woods, that's right. So here they are doing it again, right? Only this time it's a videotape. Oh, for some reason, it's just a simple malfunction. The tape went off at 12:47 p.m. and did not begin again until 6 p.m. What? That's the exact time that you wanted to see all these people from Washington trooping into the Texas House Speaker's room? Oh, you got to be kidding. You think we're going to give you that tape? You think we, Republicans, are going to turn that over to Democrats investigating us? Huh? They don't bother spinning anymore. They don't bother creating elaborate falsehoods. They just come out and lie. Whether it's national Democrats or Republicans or state Republicans, it doesn't make any difference. They just come out and lie. Whether it's Ari Fleischer or the Texas Department of Public Safety, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Why doesn't it matter, Mike? It doesn't matter because, first of all Democratic politicians, okay, I'm sorry, 95% of Democratic politicians have been castrated, even the females. They have no cojones. They have no, okay, let's change it. 95% of all Democratic politicians have had their backbones removed. How's that? Let's not do a sex thing. Yeah. They've had their backbones removed. That's A. B is that there is no independent investigative media in this country any longer. So the Republicans know this. And there's C, the American public is deep asleep. So with no media, a public that doesn't give a damn, and Democrats that don't have spines, all Democrats now slither around on the floor, except when they're dancing around in their pink tutus, saying, "Oh, we love George Bush. George Bush is our president. We just don't say anything critical of George Bush. We're all Democrats trying to live on this. It's gonna, everything, oh, it's okay." So in light of A, B, and C that I just listed for you, obviously the Texas Department of Public Safety can say to the Democrats trying to investigate what's going on,
it was a simple malfunction, dude. Hey, I don't know, the tape you wanted, the big six-hour gap? Well, it's just a simple malfunction, that's all. Bye.
Man. Bush is America. Okay, enough for me. Eric is calling from New Jersey. Eric, this is your first time calling the program, I believe, right?
Absolutely, and I want to thank you for a wonderful program. Sir.
Well, you're welcome. Welcome aboard, too, also. Good
magnificent stuff. I discovered you about 2 weeks ago, and I've been an addict ever since.
Oh, good. Well, that's good addiction.
I don't know if you're familiar with what Jim Hightower had to say about Tom DeLay. He once said in one of his books that whenever he looked at Tom DeLay, he could only think to himself, out of 30 million sperm, you were the fastest.
Well, I know Hightower has said a lot about Texas Republicans. And first, last, and always, Tom DeLay, who has breathed way too much parathion and seen way too many visions of the Virgin Mary in hamburger patties, Tom DeLay is a Texan.
I visited there once, and I remember a lot of mosquitoes, but otherwise not much. But I don't want to insult any of your listeners from Texas, so I won't go on.
Okay.
The reason I called was I was speaking with a good liberal friend of mine in New York City the other day, and we were discussing Bush's, of course, all liberals are nowadays. And he reflected upon how it's been a time-honored tradition of dictators, whatever their stripe, to use starvation as a political tool. Joseph Stalin did it.
Mm-hmm.
They did it in East Timor. They did it in
China.
In China, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what Bush is doing on a scale right now as part of he's doing it on a fiscal level as a calculated political move.
Sure. Well, this is what Bush is doing is what Reagan tried to do and what Bush Sr. Didn't have the guts to do. Bush Sr. didn't follow up in a macho enough way. And so the powers that be got rid of him and put Clinton won the election in 92. But this is the old Federalist Society idea. This is the old Reagan idea.
Mm-hmm.
Starve everything. We want 10% ruling class in this country, 90% workers who are constantly terrified, constantly terrorized, who provide this huge labor pool for capital in this country. And I think that's what's going on.
I think it goes a little bit deeper than that.
Yeah.
Because what Bush is doing right now, he's deliberately starving the states. He just recently graciously gave the states a $20 billion aid package after he just blew what? How many billions on wrecking Iraq?
Yeah, really.
And the thing is what's going to happen the way I see it and the way my friend sees it is that the states are going to have the states that have income state income tax are going to have to raise it through the roof just to keep operating, and many of the states that don't have it are going to have to institute it. And of course, in the wake of this, Republican candidates can go in there looking like knights on shining armor saying, elect me and I'll lower your taxes.
One flaw in the ointment. I think 33 of the 50 states are run by Republican administrations.
Ah.
So,
well, this will just add a little bit of,
I think what you might be doing, Eric, with all due respect, is going a little bit too deep. I honestly believe you don't have to go very deep at all. What Bush is doing, the puppet Bush, and I maintain like Reagan, he's nothing more than a puppet, but the Federalists who are loose in this country, who have been waiting since, oh, God, since when? I don't know. They've been in exile for the past, 200 years, have now got their opportunity to totally destroy the idea of union in this country. That this is not to be the United States of America. This is to be the United Soviet States of America. In other words, 50 independent states, capital S, that are how to say this? I don't know.
A revival of the old states' rights guard.
Well, that
the pre-Civil War, perhaps.
Yeah, that too. But what they're trying to do is destroy the country. Just utterly and completely. Now, those are the political ideologues. The religious ideologues who run this country are trying to bring Jesus back by blowing up the planet.
Oh,
so between those two forces, you have the American sheeple who are very content to just sit back and say, well, I don't know. I don't know.
Exactly. Hey, American Idol's on.
I don't know. That's right. Hey, listen, Eric, thanks.
Hold on.
One more thing.
I plug my website really quickly?
Sure, go ahead.
I do bushflash.com. It's like BuzzFlash, just remove the two Z's and add an S-H.
Bushflash.com.
Excellent.
We'll check it out.
I thank you for your show. Thanks for entertaining my question, and keep up the good work, sir.
Will do, Eric. Thanks. Good to hear from you. Yeah, you're caught between the people who want to destroy America and the people who want to destroy the world. Now, that's not an enviable place to be, is it? The religious freaks?
We got to keep attacking these countries. Eventually, we'll hit the right one, and Jesus will appear in the clouds, and then we can go kill all the Jews. We've been using the Jews, we evangelical Protestant right-wing religious freaks. We've been using the Jews, but the time is coming when we're going to have to kill them all, at least the ones that don't accept Jesus as their personal savior. I got dibs on Richard Pearl.
Right? Now, you got those people on the one side, the religious maniacs, right? The ones who hold older over. Do you remember the guy who was the Department of Interior head for Reagan? What was his name? The religious fanatic who said, well, there's no reason to preserve forests and keep streams clean because Jesus is coming back and it's a moot point anyway. Yeah, that guy. Anyway, you got the religious extremists on the one side. And isn't it funny, these religious extremists are all Protestant Christian fundamental evangelicals. Isn't that odd? You don't have any other religious groups that I'm aware of pushing for the destruction of the planet. Now, you got the Islamic fundamentalists who are just wacko. You've got the Hindu fundamentalists who are also wacko. You've got the Jewish fundamentalists who don't believe anything exists. You know, they're just wandering around still going, is the Messiah here yet? You know, they're all crazy. All of them. But in this country, we're caught between the religious wackos in the Republican Party who want to destroy the world and the political wackos who want to destroy the United States. Gosh, what's a fella to do? Joe is calling from Oregon, our Brookings Bureau Chief. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, well, I believe that the 5 hours from the videotape was wiped out accidentally. And a horse is going to come flying out of my butt in a couple of minutes here. Of course I believe it. How could you not believe it, Mike?
I mean, isn't that? I mean, at least they should be creative in their lies, shouldn't they? I mean, it's one thing to just stop the spinning, stop the irony, stop all the pretense, and just stand out and lie. But shouldn't the lie? Isn't there a law someplace that say the lies have to be creative?
Well, they're just kicking it old school, Mike. Tom DeLay, I mean, Chris, what the hell are you going to get out of the media? I mean, Tom DeLay, not only should the guy be kicked out as a majority leader and he should resign from Congress, he should be busting up rocks in Fort Leavenworth. Right now, it's so obvious what this guy was up to.
Hey, listen, I'll tell you, even though Dick Cheney said, you know, he's going to run with Bush again, somebody's got to be in control. Dick Cheney, God forbid he should have a heart attack and die! But if he does, Tom DeLay would be the one who, then we would have an all-Texas White House. That's what Tom DeLay is bucking for. He's breathed in so much parathion, so much bug juice, and seen so many visions of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he's just wacky enough to get on the ticket there with Bush. That is, if something untoward happens to our vice president. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, thank God Bill O'Reilly is going to get to the bottom of this and then just right the whole ship now.
Yeah, he will. He certainly will. Hey, thanks a lot, Joe. Good to hear from you. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
evident here. In the American way, you must give and I shall take. I will tell you what is moral and what's just. Because I want, because I will, because I can.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Hi, I'm Stephen Sack, and I host the Employees Lawyer Show on IE America Radio Network. We take calls from people all over the United States, and we help them in their job problems. So if you ever wondered what job rights you have and how to fight back, I'm the guy to call.
Listen to Stephen at his new time on Sundays from 9 a.m. until noon and rebroadcast from 9 p.m. till midnight.
For more information on my show or other shows on the IE America Radio Network, go to IEAmericaRadio.com. It's the best advice I can give.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Thank you.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, thanks to our Northern Indiana Bureau Chief, Sean, who never calls the program anymore, the Department of Interior freak I was looking for was James Watt. But Sean was beaten to the punch by Robert, who also came up with Watt. Look, getting old is not for sissies. Trust me. You know, you forget things and... Willie T. also emailed in regarding bankrupting the country. David Stockman, Reagan's budget director, said it first. As Willie T. says, Stockman basically said that under Reagan, the repukes thought that the only way to dislodge funding for social programs from the New Deal to the Great Society was to break the bank on all of them. We have been warned over and over, Willie T. writes. Yeah, of course we have. I don't see how anyone doesn't get it, that the goal, the primary goal of the Bush crime family, the domestic branch, not the celestial branch. There are two branches, celestial branch, which, you know, pushing clouds aside looking for the face of Jesus, and the domestic branch that just wants to destroy the country. They are following the playbook put together by these crazy, crazy bastards all the way back to the Reagan administration, who were exiled when Pappy Bush was defeated for re-election. They have, these are real red-eyed psychopaths. Huh? The question is, which is more dangerous to all of us, the celestial branch of these thugs or the domestic branch? It's a real toss-up. John is calling from Long Beach, California. Hey, John.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Listen, I want to ask you, if this thing with the FCC, if it goes through, which it probably will...
The consolidation vote on June the 2nd.
Right. Can it be much worse than it already is?
Oh, sure it can.
We don't get news now?
Well, the problem is, with the consolidation, then these huge media companies will start controlling the portals to the Internet. And, think of AOL Time Warner, think of Microsoft Explorer. Think of these web browsers and then think, okay, what happens if consolidation includes, which it will, control of the Internet? So, yeah, it can get much worse, worse.
Don't they pretty much AOL... They pretty well control the Internet now, don't they?
Well, if you subscribe to AOL, sadly, that's one of the services I use. But, no, to answer your question directly, John, it can get much, much worse. Hey, John, thanks for checking in.
Okay.
All right, sir, appreciate your call. Quick break here. We'll be back. Got a couple open lines. Would love to hear from you. The number is 800-TALK-YES.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland.
Chinese leader Hu Jintao has met with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow. Jintao's visit to Russia is his first trip abroad since being elected as China's head of state in March. Anya Ardaiva reports.
Chinese and Russian leaders have reaffirmed strong ties between the two countries and said mutual relations have reached, quote, the highest levels. A joint declaration issued after the meeting has called for the United Nations to be given the central role in rebuilding Iraq. The two leaders have again called for a, quote, multipolar, just and democratic world order based on international law, which refers to their desire to balance American power. Mr. Putin and Mr. Hu also pushed for a peaceful solution to the standoff between North Korea and the United States. They called for Pyongyang to not develop its controversial nuclear program and said North Korea should provide security guarantees for South Korea. Anya Ardaiva, Moscow.
It's still unclear whether state employee unions will have any impact on Connecticut's budget process. The majority of state unions have been unable to reach any concession agreement with Governor Rowland, which led to around 2,800 layoffs earlier this year. Senate President Pro Tem Kevin Sullivan says the unions would have to come up with something substantial to have any impact.
If they are going to be part of this package, they're going to have more savings than we currently have in the budget that came out of appropriations. I think the real test will be whether or not, I have no sense of this, whether or not the individual unions or collectively are prepared to make that kind of proposal.
Negotiations between the unions and Governor Rowland's budget staff broke down earlier this year. The unions have sued the governor over the issue, claiming he used unfair labor practices in the process.
Smokers, now you can break the nicotine habit safely, effectively, and naturally within 7 days, guaranteed. And now you can quit smoking for good without craving, side effects, irritability, or weight gain with an amazing new product called Smoke Free. Smoke Free consists of three herbal supplements that work together to completely and naturally eliminate your body's cravings for nicotine. Smoke Free replenishes vital nutrients as it counteracts the effects of nicotine without the use of dangerous drugs or patches. Your mood, nervousness, and sleep will improve as your dependence on nicotine is eliminated. In fact, the ingredients in Smoke Free is so effective, it's listed as an all-natural homeopathic medicine, and surveys boast an amazing 92% success rate. So if you've ever thought about or tried to quit smoking in the past, now you can be smoke-free in 7 days, guaranteed. Call now to try Smoke Free completely risk-free. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed to work. You have nothing to lose but your life. So call toll-free, 1-800-485-0648. That's 1-800-485-0648.
The conditions of the formerly conjoined Guatemalan twins continue to improve at the Mattel Children's Hospital in Los Angeles. Steve Gonzalez says Maria Teresa is expected to undergo surgery on Thursday.
The twins were returned to UCLA last Thursday following complications in Guatemala. Dr. Jorge Lazarev said both should be on their way home in a couple of weeks.
I expect Maria de Jesus to go home or a transitory home or to leave the hospital in the very next days. And I hope that Maria Teresa will leave with the hospital in the next couple of weeks.
The twins were separated following 23 hours of surgery last August at UCLA. I'm Steve Gonzalez.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Rocker Bob Geldof is in Ethiopia hoping to bring some attention to the recurring food crisis there before the Group of Eight Nations meet in Evian, France. Geldof says it's not about the numbers, it's about getting food to the needy.
14 million people, the statistics are numbing and meaningless, really. Because of drought, they don't have food. So we give them 68% of what is required to stay alive. And we only give them 68% because that's all the food we've given, even though we're awash with surplus food.
Geldof places the blame for the current famine in Ethiopia squarely on the shoulders of the Europeans. In 1985, the Irish musician staged what was termed the world's largest rock concert in order to raise money and raise awareness about the Ethiopian famines. Stocks soared higher today as Wall Street cheered a round of upbeat economic reports. The Dow Jones gained 179 points and finished at 8781. The Nasdaq was up 46 points to 1556. The S&P 500 gained 18 points to 951. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bob.
probably like it with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday, in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is, Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes, if you'd like to join in. Just a little Iraq update here, and then back to your phone calls. What did the sign say on the aircraft carrier when too stupid to be president and too stupid to release his parachute harness landed and walked around with his package sticking out so the Republican women could go, oh! What was that sign back there? Mission accomplished, wasn't it? Was that what it was, Kathy? Mission accomplished? Well, here's an update. In the past couple of days, a U.S. Army unit in Iraq was attacked in the Iraqi city of Fallujah early this morning in a firefight that killed 2 U.S. soldiers, wounded 9. That's according to U.S. Central Command, so the death toll could be higher than that. According to U.S. Central Command in Iraq, a hostile force, quote, of unknown size, close quote. What? Unknown size? How could it be of unknown size? Oh, well. A hostile force of unknown size fired on our unit with rocket-propelled grenades, RPGs, and small arms. Next. A U.S. Army soldier was killed and 3 others were wounded near Baghdad International Airport yesterday when the vehicle they were riding in was blown up by an explosive device known as a satchel charge, thrown under their Humvee by a man who, quote, came up out of a ditch and threw the charge, close quote. That's according to an Army spokesman, Captain David Connolly. Boy, we're right back to the real 5 o'clock follies here, aren't we? Third item. Another soldier was killed. One was wounded Monday when a convoy they were in was ambushed near Haditha, about 120 miles northwest of Baghdad. So what do we have here? Simon sent this in to me, mounting U.S. losses in Iraq. We have 4 dead and 13 wounded in 2 days. If that keeps up for a month, it will be equal to the losses of the actual, quote, war, close quote. And Simon in Canada adds, it's often been said that winning the war is the easiest part, winning the peace is more difficult. Our people continue to be killed in Iraq. Our people continue to kill in Iraq. We are killing and being killed by, one assumes, Iraqi military, those who were not paid off by the Bush crime family to take the day off, take the week off when we attacked Iraq. So the killing on both sides goes on. Doesn't that put to the lie the banner behind too stupid to be president that said mission accomplished? Was the mission accomplished in Afghanistan, where American soldiers are continuing to die and are continuing to kill? Was the mission accomplished in Iraq then, where American soldiers continue to die and continue to kill? Isn't that a definition of a war? When you have two armies shooting at each other and killing each other, isn't that called war? And if a war is still in existence, is it incorrect to say mission accomplished unless the mission was securing Iraq's oil fields? Unless the mission in Afghanistan was cutting deals with the tribal warlords to build the natural gas and oil pipelines across Afghanistan. If those are the missions that were accomplished, then the sign behind too stupid to be president was correct, wasn't it? Oh, well. Now, speaking of Iraq, this is according to Sunday's Observer in the UK. Up to 3,000 Iraqis, some of them civilians, are believed to be gagged, bound, hooded, and beaten at U.S. detention camps close to Baghdad airport. The Observer says the U.S. is illegally holding thousands of Iraqi prisoners of war and other captives without access to human rights officials at compounds close to Baghdad airport, according to the Observer. There were also reports of a mutiny last week by prisoners at one of these hell holes in protest against conditions. According to a U.S. military source, the uprising was, quote, dealt with, close quote, by the Americans. The Red Cross so far has been denied access to what the organization believes could be as many as 3,000 prisoners held in searing heat. All other requests to inspect conditions under which prisoners are being held have been met with silence or turned down. Now, the Observer goes on to talk about the evidence that prisoners that we are now holding in Iraq are being gagged and hooded in the manner of the Afghans and other captives from, 50 different countries being held at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. Treatment in itself that is questionable under international law, but the Bush crime family pisses on international law. That's right. If you don't like that word, I'm sorry. They unzip their flies, take it out, and they piss all over international law. They urinate all over international human rights agreements. They don't care. Yeah, you got the image in your head? Good. There they stand, with their flies unzipped, urinating. The Bush crime family, all over international agreements. Now, when U.S. prisoners are held, as they eventually will be, in these kinds of conditions, what do you think will happen then? Now, unlike the people being held in Cuba, there's no doubt about the status of these people being held in Iraq. Whether they're POWs or civilians arrested for looting or other crimes under military occupation, all of them have the right under the rules of war to be visited by and documented by the International Red Cross. But the Bush crime family, unzipping their flies again, urinate all over the International Red Cross. And why shouldn't they? They are the Bush crime family. They will do what they damn well please. And if there are uprisings, the uprisings will be dealt with by U.S. occupying forces. How's it feel to be an American tonight, huh? Ask me that question.
How does it feel to be an American tonight, Mike?
Embarrassing, shameful, disgusting. The airport makeshift POW camps. Now, what we did in Afghanistan, we kept them in huge shipping containers until they suffocated or roasted human flesh inside the shipping containers. And when the prisoners would beat hard enough on the insides of the containers, the U.S. military would open fire, which had the dual effect of killing many of them, but also putting holes in the walls of these shipping containers so that people could get a little fresh air as they died. Now, Russell Mokyber one of the few remaining journalists in this country, asked the snotty Ari Fleischer today about, excuse me, the 3,000 Taliban prisoners U.S. troops killed in Afghanistan. You see, there's a new documentary film by an Irish journalist. And a documentary is not a movie, of course. It is a documentary. That's why it documents events. That's why, geek, they call it a documentary. Of course, the pencil neck geek doesn't understand that he's going to denigrate not only the questioner, but also the question. Now, regarding the slaughter of people in Afghanistan, who in the hell knows if they were Taliban fighters? They were people rounded up and put in shipping containers. For God's sake, do we as a country no longer have any honor whatsoever? None. And I say we because every single day the Bush crime family remains in power is because you and I allow it. So here's Russell Mokyber today and Ari Fleischer talking about this new documentary film that talks about the slaughter of 3,000 unarmed prisoners in Afghanistan by coalition forces.
Russell?
There's a new documentary film by an Irish journalist, Jamie Duran. He alleges... Well, let me tell you about them. He alleges U.S. military involvement in a massacre of 3,000 Taliban prisoners in Afghanistan. He says that the 3,000 prisoners were forced into sealed containers and loaded onto trucks for transport to Shebargan prison. When the prisoners began shouting for air, U.S. allied Afghan soldiers fired directly into the truck, killing many of them. Then, witnesses in the film say that the trucks arrived and soldiers opened the containers. Most of the people inside were dead. U.S. Special Forces redirected...
And your question is? Well,
you haven't seen it, so I'm giving you some background. So just one more thing. U.S. Special Forces redirected the containers carrying the dead into the deserts and stood by...
I think I understand your movie review.
There's a mass grave of 3,000 Taliban prisoners. Question. Does the president know about this massacre? Is he ordering an investigation?
Well, one, I would not use a movie as a basis to make assumptions about what is right and what is wrong. And if you have questions about a factual matter in Afghanistan dealing with the military, I think that's a question you should address to the Pentagon. I'm not aware of any such thing.
Isn't that one of the reasons they hate us? Bush says it because we buy houses, because we have freedom, because we like Big Macs. Is it possibly because we assist in rounding up 3,000 prisoners and put them into sealed shipping containers and cook them? And the ones we don't cook, we shoot? Could that be? Now, in case you didn't hear it, Russell said, Ari, there's a new documentary film by an Irish journalist, Jamie Duran. He alleges, and Ari says, I haven't seen it. Russell says, well, let me tell you about it then. He alleges U.S. military involvement in a massacre of 3,000 Taliban soldiers in prisoners in Afghanistan. Not necessarily soldiers. He says that the 3,000 prisoners were forced into sealed containers and loaded onto trucks for transport to Shebargan prison. When the prisoners began shouting for air, U.S. and its ally, Afghan soldiers, fired directly into the truck, killing many of them. Then witnesses in the film say that the trucks arrived and soldiers, U.S. soldiers, opened the containers. Most of the people inside were dead. U.S. Special Forces redirected the containers carrying the dead into the desert and stood by as holes were dug and a mass grave was prepared for 3,000 Taliban prisoners. Question, Ari, does the president know about this massacre? Is he ordering an investigation?
Ya Muslimu. Ya Muslimun. All the people are dying, they're willing to give every drop of their blood for the freedom to live. All the people are dying to get back their land. and the home of their fathers who died for Islam.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Rural people and local officials have long complained to the Environmental Protection Agency about the sickening air and water pollution coming from the massive corporate hog factories that have sprung up all across the country. And now, by gollies, George W. Bush's EPA is listening to the polluters. These hog factories are huge, cramming tens of thousands of hogs inside and channeling hog urine and feces into open-air cesspools the size of football fields. Oh, the stink. Think of rancid roadkill mixed with overloaded porta-potty on a hot day. It's a knee-buckling, mind-melting, pass-out stink. But the stench is not just an odor. It's a substance. In particular, it's fecal dust. And hundreds of tons of these invisible hog stuff particles drift through the air for residents of the area to breathe. Scientific studies now are proving that the stink is poisonous, ruining people's health. Instead of enforcing existing laws or enacting stronger protections for people, however, the Bushites closeted themselves with industry lobbyists, privately negotiating on a proposal written by the polluters themselves. Hold your nose, because the plan agreed to by Bush and Company is even stinkier than hog stuff. One, the corporate hog factories are to be given amnesty for any past violations of the Clean Air Act, even violations that poison people. Two, the EPA will pursue no new cases against polluters, and control of factory farm pollution will be moved from EPA's enforcement professionals to its political office. Three, in exchange for this get-out-of-jail-free card, the industry agrees to have its pollution monitored by EPA on a voluntary basis. But only 30 of the thousands of hog factories will be monitored, and even if they're found to be rank violators of the law, they'll not have to make changes in their practices. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight bush stink, call Grace Factory Farm Project at 212-726-9161.
I gave the people in Afghanistan a choice, but they didn't listen. They didn't respond. And now they're paying a price.
Yeah, into the packing containers, and we'll roast you. And if you're lucky enough not to be put in the packing containers, we'll send you to Cuba. And while you're in Cuba, we will drive you all insane. Did you see that story? It was about a week ago, 10 days ago. People who have been released and I think 20 or 30 people have been released, are talking about mass psychosis. People, not psychosis, but I mean mental illness. People absolutely just going crazy as a result of the treatment at the hands of U.S. military in Cuba. Now, the U.S. military is not something from the planet Tralfamador. The U.S. military is us, you and me. We support it. We pay for it. A lot of us are veterans of it. It's an extension of U.S. Society, U.S. power. So you and I are condoning torture, mass murder, executions, and guess what? It's not bad enough. According to a newspaper in Australia, the Courier Mail, the U.S. has floated plans to turn Guantanamo Bay into a death camp with its own death row and execution chamber. According to the newspaper, prisoners would be tried, convicted, and executed without leaving its boundaries, without a jury, and without the right of appeal. The Mail on Sunday newspaper reported, Sunday in Australia. The plans were revealed by Major General Jeffrey Miller, who is in charge of 680 suspects from 43 countries, including two Australians, which is one of the reasons this appeared in the Australian newspaper. Now, of course, it didn't appear in American media that I'm aware of for the obvious reasons. The people being held at Camp Delta in Cuba have been held there without charge now for 18 months, and now we're going to start killing them. General Miller, a U.S. military person, said building a death row was one plan. Another was to have a permanent jail with possibly an execution chamber in it. Now, the newspaper reported the move as seen as logical by the United States. Well, why not? There are prisoners. We can do with them as we want. We unzip our flies and urinate all over international human rights agreements. This is just an extension of that urination. We will kill them. As you can imagine, human rights groups and lawyers representing detainees are horrified. They see it as the clearest indication that America, that's you, and that's I, America has no intention of falling in line with internationally recognized justice. Why should we? We don't have to. We are the United States. We will do what we damn well please. Now, the U.S. Justice Department, that would be the religiously insane psychopath John Ashcroft, has already said detainees would be tried by tribunals without juries, no appeals to a higher court. An American law professor, Jonathan Turley, you've probably seen him on television, he's quoted in this article, he has led U.S. civil rights group protests against the military tribunals, said, quote, "It is not surprising that U.S. authorities are building a death row because they have said they plan to try capital cases before these tribunals. This camp was created to execute people." Now, I think our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, brought this out months ago. A year ago? I don't know. A long time ago. It's been on this program many times. The ultimate purpose of Camp X-Ray, which is now called Camp Delta, is to execute people without appeal, without any sort of judicial review. If the military tribunals say they're guilty, then by Christ, they will be executed. End of story. Now, the British say they have been kept in the dark about the plans. A spokesman for Tony Blair said, the U.S. government is well aware of the British government's position on the death penalty. We don't have that here, so I don't know. Oh, dear, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. I have no idea.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
An invading insect threatens several types of ash trees in North America. The scale of the problem could match that of Dutch elm disease. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. Ash trees are common throughout most of eastern North America. In cities, they're popular shade trees. In eastern woodlands, they stand out as some of the first to change color in the fall. A small green beetle called the emerald ash borer has put their future in question. The beetle was discovered just last year in southeastern Michigan. Since then, it's killed or damaged millions of trees in parts of Michigan and across the border in Windsor, Ontario. Sarah Linsmeyer-Werfel works for the Michigan Department of Agriculture. She says the emerald ash borer is a small, thin insect with a metallic green back. It's native to Asia, and it probably traveled to North America in wooden packing crates made out of ash. Linsmeyer-Werfel says the people who worked with the crates might have missed it because in its larval stage, it's extremely small and blends in with the wood. Linsmeyer-Werfel says the beetle is known to attack green, white, and black ash trees. The beetle bores into healthy trees to lay its eggs, and within a few years, the trees are dead. She says trees often don't show signs of infestation until they're well on their way to decline.
The infestation of emerald ash borer is basically, it's very difficult to detect until the canopy of the tree where the top is starts to thin and die back.
The top third of a tree usually dies back within the first year. The remainder dies the following year. Linsmeyer-Werfel says state and federal agencies in the U.S. are working hard to contain the spread of the emerald ash borer. A quarantine now prohibits taking firewood or ashwood products out of counties that are infested by the beetles. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick-dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
narwhal,
Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
People hate. You know what they hate? They hate the idea that somebody can go buy a home.
No, George, they hate the idea that your extension of power includes putting people in shipping containers and cooking them. They hate the idea that your extension of power includes military tribunals that result in executions without appeal. No, George, they just hate you. When it really gets down to it. And you, of course, are the face of America. And we, who allow you to continue as the unelected president of this country, are responsible for every single thing you do. Now, that may not be true very much longer because the effort to totally totalitarianize this country is that effort is progressing each and every day. But as of tonight, we are still responsible for Bush being in office. That's kind of an upsetting thought. I don't know. John is calling from Cleveland. John, welcome to the program.
Well, how are you doing today, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Hey, Mike, you know, really what it is when you think back on the fact that the United States was very key in writing many of these human rights laws, you know, with the United Nations, really what the world hates, and I'm not talking about our direct enemies, you know, such as the Taliban or, you know, Saddam Hussein. I'm talking about countries that are just kind of sitting on the fence, like, gee, what side should we take?
Right.
They look at the hypocrisy of this, and it's just got to be mind-blowing to them, you know?
But what side is left? You know, you're referring, of course, to the Cold War years,
yeah.
a 60-year-long period of time when, you know, countries could be forced to choose between the Soviet camp and the U.S. camp. But what's the choice today?
Well, the choice today is how wholeheartedly are you going to support the United States when they go on these little conquests, and you know Iran's going to be next, and not, like, kind of sit back if you're a country like, say, France or Germany and say, well, you know, United States, maybe you have some good points here, but why don't you, like, put your money where your mouth is and, you know, stop being so hypocritical about the way that, you know, you treat your adversaries?
Well, never happened. The Bush crime family is, like I've said, there's no longer even any hypocrisy, no longer any irony, no longer any attempt to spin things. They just stand out and lie and then go do whatever they damn well please because they know that the American people won't stop them, the American media won't expose them, and the rest of the world is terrified. They, you know, they even the countries that could vaporize the United States, pushing several buttons, one assumes, are terrorized because there's a madman here.
Yeah.
During the Cold War, everybody assumed that I'll use Khrushchev as an example that Khrushchev was not a madman. As a matter of fact, when he got into a face-to-face confrontation over the missiles in Cuba with John Kennedy, since Khrushchev was not a madman, he backed down. Kennedy was not a madman because it turns out there were contingency plans that were being worked out behind the scenes to prevent global thermonuclear war. Bush is a madman. Not only is he insane, but the people around him are insane. And then to add insult to injury, Bush is the most grossly ignorant man ever to sit in the White House. So we have a situation here where the insanity of these people overrides what normally would be the checks and balances on the use of power to destructive ends. The Bush crime family, like I said earlier, there's two factions. There's the Republicans who want to destroy the United States. There's the Republicans who want to destroy the world.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We're just in a world of hurt here. And again, I will state the obvious. And this is a real mea culpa on my part. I don't know if anybody else wants to share in this guilt. But as long as we allow Bush to be in office, this is going to continue and get worse.
Well, did you are you familiar with Patriot 2, the Patriot Act 2?
I have not read it. I've read enough critiques of it to understand that this is the noose tightening even further on what remains of civil liberties in this country. Mm-hmm. Patriot 2 will include the gutting of the Second Amendment.
Exactly.
Now, I don't want to align myself with the gun nuts in this country, but I'll tell you, you know, I've said before, I'm a shooter. I'm a liberal with the gun, several of them, as a matter of fact. And this is probably the only place that I agree with the real gun nuts. If there's a power grab, which they always said would happen with Clinton. And it was during the Clinton years that
I remember that.
That I increased my arsenal.
Yeah.
But if it ever happens, and I'm just as serious as a heart attack, because there are some things worth dying for. If the Gestapo, American style, ever came to my home or detained me and said, look, you know, these weapons that you have owned for a long time, that you own legally, that you're registered, that you're ID'd for, a time to turn them in. No, I don't think so. At that point, that's when I participate in armed insurrection.
You really think the NRA is going to allow them to do that?
There was an order issued in Iraq, when was it, last week, that all weapons are to be turned in now, and the NRA, any time a government has said this, whether Australia attempted it, Canada attempted it, anywhere on the globe, the NRA usually leaps to the fore and says, wait a second, even though you countries don't have Second Amendments, obviously, even an NRA geek knows that, or some of them do. Okay, I take it back. Very few of them do. But the guys on the board of the NRA, surely they must understand that, even lacking a so-called Second Amendment, or the equivalent of a Second Amendment, they've always come to the defense of the gun owners in these countries and the gun nuts God, I hate being in the same camp with them, and said, look, your government is exceeding its authority by telling you to turn your weapons. They did not do that where it concerned Iraq. Nobody from the NRA, as far as I know, has made a peep about the seizure of weapons in Iraq. Now, will the NRA resist something like that in this country? They might, but the resistance, the NRA is a paper tiger. They raise money. They're a fundraising organization.
Right.
They're a Chicken Little organization. They run around screaming the sky is falling. When the rubber meets the road, these people will probably, 90% of NRA members will probably turn in their weapons.
Oh, yeah, because they're good law-abiding citizens.
Well, not only that, they're cowards.
Yeah.
They're absolute, utter chicken hawk cowards.
Yeah.
So the average NRA member, when the order comes down to turn in your weapon, they'll say, okay, where am I supposed to take it? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to own all these guns. I, on the other hand, am in the process of increasing my arsenal.
Sure. Remember when Clinton was president, there was this radical right-wing group called the Constitutionalists?
Oh, yeah. Well, and Clinton, I remember during the election when they blanketed West Virginia and Tennessee and Arkansas, three states that Gore lost, and with the flyers and phone messages and billboards and all sorts of handouts saying, if Al Gore's elected, the first thing you'll do is come and get your guns.
Yeah.
And the knuckle-draggers went for it. You
that
know,
was the Cato Institute, I think.
Yeah, the rednecks, the freaks, the cowardly NRA members, and they are all cowards.
Well, the real gung-ho, hardcore right-wing constitutionalists are going to become your best friends here probably in the next year.
Well, I, you know,
I hate to say it.
I'm getting to the point where I don't know. I don't want any friends.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I don't want any friends. I'm just going to stay in the bunker and look out the little gun portals and wait for them to come. Wait a minute. That sounds like Randy Weaver.
That does.
That
yeah.
sounds like David Koresh.
Yeah, you're gonna go to the hills of Atlanta.
Oh my God!
There.
Oh no! See what?
One last thing.
Yes, go ahead.
I was reading my Plain Dealer today.
Yeah.
And back buried on A6 is a headline that says lawlessness in Baghdad boils into traffic chaos. Now, this was an Associated Press article that states that without police presence, motorists turn streets into heated gridlock. And they show pictures of, I mean, there's just like no order to the traffic there. Now, you mean to tell me that with all these military people we have over there, we can't find one MP to direct traffic in downtown Baghdad? What's going on?
I have no idea. Oh, and by the way, John, thanks for the email about Michael Moore.
Yeah, August 19th.
Here's what he sent me today. Michael Moore will respond to critics who blasted his Oscar slam of Bush on the DVD Bowling for Columbine to be released by MGM on August 19th. So they're adding something to it. Michael Moore's going to respond to the people that said, sit down, fat boy, when he said what he said at the Oscars, right?
Exactly. And Mike, when is that movie that you were talking about with the Taliban people coming out?
I don't know. It's by an Irish documentarian. I don't even have the title of it. Do we have the title of it, Kathy? Not yet.
Okay.
All we have is the Q&A from Russell Mokyber and Ari Fleischer at the press briefing today.
Well, definitely keep us posted because there's some good independent cinemas, I'm sure, that'll have that out.
Yeah, in foreign countries, it's very difficult, with the exception of Michael Moore, to find independent filmmakers in this country anymore. They're not allowed to. Karl Rove won't allow them to be independent filmmakers. So you either, beyond Michael Moore, and I'm sure there's a handful of others, of course, but beyond that little handful, you have to go to foreign filmmakers if you're looking for hard-hitting documentaries, which, you know, the U.S. film industry used to provide. Not anymore. They're not allowed.
No.
Right?
The best I could do now is Bruce Almighty.
There you go. Thanks, John.
Have a good night, Mike.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. Appreciate your call indeed. Michael Isikoff, who normally is just, you know, he works for Newsweek. He's the one that tried to make Julie Hyatt Steele look like, I don't know, some co-conspirator with what was the other woman's name, that had all sorts of dark and horrible information on Bill Clinton. So you got to take anything Michael Isikoff says with a grain of salt. But in the current issue of Newsweek, he says that he asked some questions. For example, he says, why is the Bush administration blocking the release of an 800-page congressional report about 911? Isikoff writes, the report deal, bipartisan report deals with law enforcement and intelligence failures that preceded the attacks. For months, congressional leaders and administration officials have battled over declassifying the document, preventing a public release once slated for this week. Newsweek has now learned new details about the dispute. Get this. Among the portions of the report the Bush crime family refuses to classify, according to sources, are chapters dealing with two politically and diplomatically sensitive issues. The details of daily intelligence briefings given to Bush in the summer of 2001 and evidence pointing to Saudi government ties to al-Qaeda. One document is called the PDB, the President's Daily Brief. The congressional report contains details of PDBs provided to Bush prior to 9/11. The PDBs include warnings about possible attacks by al-Qaeda. One of these PDBs was given at the presidential ranch in Crawford, Texas on August 6th and dealt with the possibility that al-Qaeda might hijack airplanes. The other hot-button issue is the Saudis. The report discusses evidence that individuals with Saudi government connections may have provided the hijackers aid. That's Michael Isikoff in the current issue of Newsweek. And of course, let's all be conspiracy theorists. Let's all be just, tinfoil hat freaks here. Yes, yes, that's what they label us. Bush knew, okay? Bush knew what was going to happen in this country. His advisors knew. They told the military and the FAA to stand down. The attack occurred. That gave Bush and his crime family the portal through which they could do what they're doing. Let's just stop beating around the bush about it. If this filthy, perverted Bush crime family had not been involved in this up to their eyeballs, do you think there would be any resistance on releasing this report? This is a congressional report. This is put together by a bipartisan members of the United States Congress, which I'm so old I remember when they used to represent the American people. This was evidence taken under oath. This is a report that's already been sanitized once. And the Bush crime family doesn't want it released because, well, enterprising readers of that report may come to two conclusions. First of all, Bush and these monsters that now run this country absolutely knew that an attack was going to occur on this country and absolutely did nothing to stop it and absolutely has the blood of 3,000 plus people all over their hands and faces. That's A. Here's B. The Bush crime family's business partners, the Saudi royal family, provided the means and the aid for these people to commit these mass murders. So even a shill like Michael Isikoff writes in Newsweek,
There seems to be a problem here. The Bush crime family will not even release the 800-page report put together with U.S. tax dollars orchestrated by the people's representatives.
Even that is classified. The fact that Bush remains in power is a consequence of you and I allowing it. You understand that, don't you? Okay. As long as we're clear on that. As long as we're clear on that. Our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma bureau chief is checking in. Nelson, welcome to the program. Gosh, this is twice in the same year.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing. And by the way, thank you very much for your contributions on the new MikeMalloy.com comments boards. Between you and the Reverend and a few other posters there, by God, you are toasting some flying monkeys.
All I'm going to say is it absolutely amazed me how fast that board grew and how many people are registered. And, you know, just the registered is probably, what, half of people that are visiting?
Yeah, it is incredible. I've never seen a board expand or explode this quickly. I'm shocked and amazed. I haven't even learned how to navigate. Kathy knows, and our webmaster, Mark Marshall, knows how to navigate. Obviously, he designed it. But I'm still, you know, I'm from the 50s generation, Nelson. I'm still trying to figure out how in the hell to post a comment. Hey, hold on a second. We got a break here. I'll come back and we'll chat right after this. Stay with us. Oh, by the way, two open lines. Anybody out there tonight? This feels like a Monday night. 800-825-5937. Stay with us.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steph and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities like Ted Nugent.
Everybody's got to learn to support hunting, fishing, and trapping because that's where the dollars come from to save habitat.
You know, every time you get done talking, I feel like I should say amen.
Because I live the truth. That's what my gun, my book, God, Guns, and Rock and Roll, is on the New York Times bestseller list. It sounds like I'm bragging because I am.
Well, I love the book, Ted. I read it. I loved it.
Thank you. Well, it's like we're at a damn campfire, isn't it?
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we're talking with our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma Bureau Chief, Nelson. Thanks for holding on, Nelson.
Yeah, not a problem. But anyway, just to finish the thought, getting back on the board, It's not hard to navigate. And a little adventure this afternoon, if you go through that, what impressed me, the number of people involved, there's a lot of talent up there.
Oh, absolutely. It's just amazing. And by the way, I did get the message from you regarding the three articles in the New York Times. Krugman's column, I think I've already posted on the front page of my site so people can check it out. And the other two, I have it here in the stack, or they've been posted too, but thank you.
Yeah, and what I'm calling about is the Krugman column in particular. That the other two, like, you know, 3.3 million dead in Africa.
Right.
You know,
right,
and the press hardly even pays notice to it.
Well, they're brown.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know.
Black. Some of them are actually black.
Yeah, and it's the other side of the world, too, so who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't count. Yeah, it doesn't
still,
count.
You know,
yeah.
But anyway, getting back real quick on the Krugman column, if you could spend some time on it the air. You've been talking about this for, what, a year now?
Mm-hmm.
At least?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's finally getting out into the mainstream media. And one point I wanted to make, the gist of the whole column, just for your listeners and whatnot, is that, yeah, run the government down until it's almost bankrupt. That way all the social programs go away. You concentrate on the military and that's it. You know, you turn into a banana republic.
Mm-hmm.
And what Krugman was saying is, for investors worldwide, they look at this and they say, we're not going to buy dollars anymore.
Right.
They're going to go over to euros, okay? And the old cliche is, when the United States, you know, gets a headache, the rest of the world, you know, gets the flu.
That's right, yeah.
Okay?
Or brain cancer.
Exactly. And we're actually in a lot tougher shape than what the administration is willing to lead on.
Well, the as Krugman said, the Financial Times, their headline, or in the article that Krugman's referring to, they said the lunatics are running the asylum, and they're talking about U.S. economic policy.
And this is, it's incredibly illogical. And to take this, like, say, a step further, look at it not only from the United States, look at the effect on the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we're talking recession in this country, and we end up talking global recession. When was the last time we had a global recession, Mike?
1929, 30s?
Yeah, 1930s, and I'm trying to remember what happened in the late 30s, early 40s.
Well, we had the New Deal, and then we had a global war.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's any connection there, but I do think it's a point of concern.
I think it is. Of course, this time, maybe if we have a global depression, maybe that'll help Jesus return.
You never know. I mean, it's written.
It is written. Nelson, thanks for checking in, pal.
Anyway, you have a good one. I'll catch you later.
All right. Thanks, Nelson. Appreciate it. Our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma Bureau Chief. All right, quick break here. Stay with us. If you're on hold, got to hear what you got to say. Okay? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Another audio clip from the production meeting.
Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
to drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Guys. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
There's been no ruling yet from the judge presiding over the Scott Peterson double murder trial on whether the autopsy, search and arrest warrants and the documents supporting those warrants should be made public. Peterson is accused of killing his pregnant wife, Lacey Peterson, and their unborn child. His lawyer, Mark Garagos, expects Judge Al Girolami to keep the documents under legal wraps.
The judge, I believe, will rule if he holds to what the tentative ruling was, that the items are going to remain under seal.
Garagos says he wants the paperwork kept secret to avoid any possible unfair pretrial publicity. The prosecution is also asking to keep the documents sealed because they say releasing them will hinder their ongoing investigation into the case. Lawyers for the media want the documents released. Judge Girolami did make one ruling this morning. He ruled the tape recordings of phone conversations between Peterson and his legal team must be turned over to the defense team. The U.S. Treasury says it's lifting most of the remaining U.S. economic sanctions against Iraq. Treasury Secretary John Snow said today's action represents the Bush administration's commitment to return the Iraqi people to the family of trading nations as soon as possible. Snow also said the move marks a new beginning for liberated Iraq. Last week, the UN Security Council voted to end its 13-year program of economic sanctions. The Treasury says it hopes to boost humanitarian and reconstruction aid. A leading Canadian health journal believes doctors will not be able to cope with infectious diseases more deadly than SARS unless there's a major overhaul in the nation's healthcare system. The Canadian Medical Association has published an editorial that criticizes health administrators. The journal states that the country's tracking and reporting of infectious diseases is slow and weak. It also says physicians aren't getting needed information quickly enough and that public health districts don't have the money or manpower to properly control such outbreaks.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
President Bush has put his signature on the new Global AIDS Initiative. The legislation, approved overwhelmingly by Congress, earmarks $15 billion over 5 years to fight the spread of AIDS around the world. Bush says the U.S. has a moral duty to fight a disease that has killed more than 20 million people.
We've got a long tradition of being generous in the service of humanity. We are the nation of the Marshall Plan, the Berlin Airlift, and the Peace Corps. And now we're the nation of the Emergency Plan for AIDS relief.
Bush called AIDS one of the great medical challenges of our time. He said the U.S. is embarking on another great mission of rescue.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
A man considered to be the prime suspect in a string of murders in Louisiana is believed to have been seen as early as this morning in Atlanta, Georgia. The Georgia State Bureau of Investigation said today that Derek Todd Lee, who is a suspect in the killings of five women in Louisiana, has been in the downtown Atlanta area for the past week. U.S. Marshal Richard Meekum says Lee is believed to have changed his appearance by shaving his head bald.
We suspect him to be armed. We're not definitely sure with what, but we do suspect him being armed. His crimes are extremely violent. He's very congenial, easy to talk to, gets along with people very, very well. He also has a tan members-only windbreaker.
Lee has been working various jobs, both as a concrete finisher and as a truck driver. Upbeat economic reports sent stocks higher today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 179 points to 8781. The NASDAQ jumped 46 points to 1556. The S&P 500 gained 18 points to 951. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Liger with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. The 5 o'clock follies will be coming up here in about 23 minutes, right after the break at the bottom of the hour. Ari Fleischer, among other things, talking about, well, the topic comes up about Iran now is going to be bombed. There will be slaughter in Iran. There's a difference between Iran and Iraq, though. Iran actually has a military. Iran actually has, well, they can't be bought off, I don't think. The Iranian people, of course, have not been suffering under 13 years of U.S.-imposed sanctions. Iran is not a third-world country. It is an emerging, I don't want to say democracy. They are struggling with representative government. They are trying to throw off the religious mullahs who run the country. And most Iranians, there was a huge demonstration of support for America after 9/11. Hundreds of thousands, if I remember right, maybe it was only tens of thousands, of Iranians took to the streets in a demonstration of solidarity with the people of this country, our country. But the Bush crime family, they want Iraq, Iran, and Afghanistan because that opens up. That gives them a very secure base for, I don't know, how long did the Roman Empire last? It protects the Central Asian oil and gas fields from any chance of somebody else trying to get in there and get them. It establishes American empire in an area that American empire has never existed before. But the Iranians, I don't know. I think the Iranians are probably going to respond quite differently to the Bush crime family's attempt to overthrow their country, their government, to take over their country. It's really sick stuff. I we spent the weekend staying away from all television, all newspapers, with the exception of perusing the New York Times a little bit, editorial page. And it's amazing. You know, you spend 3 or 4 days where you're not, your brain is not being targeted for this matrix-like BS that the Bush crime family puts out. And after a couple of days, you start to, we went to a jazz festival out in the park, here at Piedmont Park in Atlanta. We went to a little arts fair in Decatur, a street fair. Went to, what else did we do? Went to a real nice Asian restaurant. Got together with friends. Had a little cookout. Just doing little common things like that, right? Didn't spend a lot of money. Matter of fact, almost everything was free. And you tend to forget that there is this evil extraterrestrial cabal that's running this country. These androids, they're not extraterrestrial, Mike, and they're not androids. They are sick, perverted Americans who have taken over the government of this country. And you tend to forget that. And then today, and that went on like Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Ooh, God, freedom. And then today, even today, up until about 3 o'clock. You know, what do we do today? We shampooed the carpets in the house. Went to Home Depot and bought some stuff. I took a couple of shots at some of the varmints in the backyard trying to get into the bird feeder. And then on the ride to work, listening to the news. And it's just like, well, wait, I almost got this stuff out of my consciousness. Oh, my God. So here we are, Iran, next in the barrel. Oh, my God. John is calling from Chicago. John, thanks for holding on. I just start talking and forget where I'm at.
Yeah, it's no problem. I remember hearing you actually in the early 90s here, and I'm not sure if it was you I heard, but I seem to recall somebody spending his last night pretty much attacking virtually everybody to take him off, so I assume that was you. I don't know.
Probably.
It was very interesting. I'm a cartoonist here, and you provide a lot of brain food for the long, long hours of inking, which are really boring. But what I wanted to talk to you about...
Well, thank you. That's very nice. I'm glad we can be in the background while you're creating art.
Sure. I mean, my blog pretty much these days is nothing but politics anyway, so it's very much on my mind, regardless of what my hands are doing. But one thing I wanted to talk to you about, this is actually originally why I called, was about the Guantanamo thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after I heard you talking about that, I went and did a little check on the news stories regarding that, because obviously I hadn't heard it. It's actually proliferated quite a bit. It's in the Baltimore Sun now.
Oh, my God.
So apparently it's been fact-checked. Now, Mike, I guess what I'm wondering is, does it occur to you possibly that this is actually a test ground?
Let's see how the U.S. public responds to this story. We're going to drop into the Australian press. It'll work its way back to the U.S. press. Let's see if there's any outcry. Is that what you mean?
Well, there's that, too. I think that's part of the thing.
Yeah, market testing.
Well, they do that. What they do is they'll throw something out, and then they let it go through 2 or 3 news cycles, and at this point, everyone seems to just accept it.
Right.
But what I'm thinking of is... Well, let's put it this way. They started small with the camps in Germany. I hate to bring in the Nazi thing. But the comparison is a little obvious.
Yeah,
they start out small with those.
It seems appropriate. Go ahead.
They start out small with those. This actually came back to mind when I was watching that Robert Carlyle thing, the Hitler thing last week, which he was really good at. It was, the rest of it was kind of lame, but at least they had their facts straight.
Right.
But the thing is about it is that they started with their enemies.
Right.
They started with their enemies, and including one particular news reporter whose name escapes me, as I'm sure they would want it to, who was one of the very first people to die in Dachau. Now, my question is that once they get all these people, everyone, as you said, adjusted to the idea that as long as you've said from the beginning, this person's a horrible terrorist or this person's a threat or we just don't like the way this person's socks look, once they get adjusted to whatever it is that they think is a reason to get rid of people in normal society, for prison or whatever, taint their name enough, then they can pretty much get rid of anybody they want. And it reminds me of back in the 80s with the Iran-Contra thing. One of the things that came out was that North was closing down a number of military institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And this plan got derailed. But the intent of the military, of these things, was basically to lock up anyone who disagreed with we had attacked Nicaragua, which we had planned to do.
Right. That was Oliver North's doing. It was to be handled under FEMA.
So I am remembering that, right?
Oh, you're remembering it. Absolutely right. FEMA has since become an arm of the Department of Homeland Security.
I'm not shocked.
These detention camps, not only were they closed down military camps, but some of them were constructed. These things are ready to go. Now, in Oliver North's day, back before he was a television personality and an author and a member of Christ's legions, Oliver North...
anything really changed, though?
these things were designed so that when the U.S. did invade Nicaragua or any place in Central America, the massive protests that would occur on the streets of America would result in people being detained and put into these prison camps. The camps are still there. Everything, nothing has changed. They just couldn't use them. And then, God forbid, we had, we had 4 years of Pappy Bush and the run-up to Iraq One, and then we had 8 years of Clinton. So that kind of ends that. But the camps were maintained. The camps have been funded. The camps are still there. And your analogy to Hitlerian Germany is not—I don't think—is off base at all.
Well, as Goering said, it works the same in every country.
Every country.
I just don't. The thing is that I honestly don't think that there is any such thing as a war on terrorism. And the fact that was it Poindexter or Secor they got in recently?
Poindexter.
Poindexter. Okay.
Right.
So essentially, I mean, isn't it always the same plan? It's just that it gets delayed a few years every now and then if they lose an election.
That's true. But what the Bush crime family is creating. Almost like, think of a petri dish. Think of bacteria multiplying and multiplying where it concerns terrorism.
Yeah.
Since the mission accomplished joke, we have had how many terrorist attacks in five or six different countries? How many American soldiers have been shot and killed or blown up in Iraq and Afghanistan? How much further has Al-Qaeda or somebody metastasized to the point where not only has Bush made the world unsafe for anybody to live in, but he's guaranteed the recruitment posters for, Osama bin Laden.
Well, I mean, I don't like to consider myself paranoid, just pessimistic. Of course, I think I'm not as pessimistic as I probably should be. But the way I look at it is this. Suppose that he looks at it this way. So when they attack us, the worst they can do is take out a couple of buildings in a city I don't like anyway in a blue state. Well, hell, let's just go ahead with what we're doing then, because obviously our opposition is nothing that we personally should care about. Now, I'm not talking about the American people. I'm talking about him personally,
right,
administration, those close to him, his friends.
Right, the Bush crime. Sure, the Bush
crime. There is no risk at all.
None.
In other words, I mean, these are the same people who used to plan around our destruction in terms of megadeaths.
Right. Right.
What makes things any different? It's like 3,000. They were, they were prepared to deal with that at least in their own heads already.
Mm-hmm.
So why is 3,000 that big of a deal? It isn't. That just sends them a message that whatever happens, they don't think it could be that bad.
Right.
And these are people who barely transitioned out of Cold War thinking, Basically, the attacks have just been taken as provocation to do what would have done had Russia not stood in our way all that time. Because, look at 100 years ago, Philippines.
Right.
Same thinking, same thing.
Oh, yeah. The slaughter we perpetrated there was just abominable, a stain on U.S. history. But how many people are aware of what we did in the Philippines?
Well, very little, because anything that doesn't have to do with the really big wars, we don't hear about. We don't hear about Polk. We hear of Polk as an unimportant president. No, it's Spanish-American War, for Christ's sake.
Right.
But we don't hear much about that because it's too complicated. And frankly, I think if you look at American history and the way it's taught, the thread seems to be that if it starts to to have to do too much with money, they shy away from it.
That's right.
And that's where the real truth is, obviously.
I hear what you're saying. So you're pessimistic, but not you haven't entered the realm of paranoia.
I don't consider it paranoia because I always keep getting surprised. So obviously, my paranoia has not really reached that far yet.
Well, I have to confess that mine has. I really fear for this country. I fear for this planet, as a matter of fact.
Oh, so
and,
do I.
And as long as the Bush crime family is in power, I also wonder about my sense of duty, because I am participating in keeping him in power by not doing anything.
So this is like what you were talking about your point of agreement with the NRA.
Well, I guess.
You know, the thing is that back when I was in college and I used to hang out with Trotskyists, you know, they all used to talk about revolution.
Right.
And I kept pointing out to them, and they also used to talk about just the same thing as the Greens did in the last election, which was, well, we have to push the contradictions. Oh, yeah, that's really smart. The worst possible thing you could imagine as opposed to something that's at least a percentage point close to where you are.
Hold on a second. Let me put you on hold, because I don't want to end this right in the middle of a sentence, but we have to take a break. Stay with us.
Getting where we've come from and all of it.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're talking with John in Chicago. Okay, John, thanks for holding on.
Oh, no problem. You really need to get some Gang of Four on your music selection, or Clash or something. Anyway, what I was saying...
Kathy tries.
Anyway, what I was trying to say about the pushing the contradictions thing is the point is that they used to talk about how things have to, of course, have to get worse before they get better, and how the conditions have to be so horrible.
Well, guess what? They are worse.
They are worse.
They are horrible.
Yet people are more demoralized because they're hungrier, for one thing.
Yeah, that's
very
true.
But the thing is that I always pointed out to them, and this is why I brought up the NRA thing, even though I personally hate guns. I grew up around them, and
so do I.
I can't stand the bloody things.
I can't either. I loathe weapons. I do.
However, what I used to tell them was, if things got that bad, and, you know, he had a situation where it was a revolutionary situation or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Who has the guns?
Well,
who wins is the one who has the guns in a situation like that.
That's usually the case.
So it just seemed to me that it's like, okay, well, you better be prepared for those conditions before you start to bring them up, which is exactly the same thing I told the Greens a few years ago.
Isn't it sad that here in almost the summer of 2003, you and I are having this discussion?
I kind of expected to be having this discussion the minute that he was chosen president. I mean, remember, he's not president by our consent. He's president by the Supreme Court's consent.
That's very true. Hey, listen, John, thank you for checking in.
No problem.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, who'd have thunk it? We might have thought it that we would be having this sort of conversation, but here we are. Oh, my God. And no, I don't like guns. I just don't. I really don't. It's one of the few inventions that is available to the general public that, when used exactly as designed, is to kill things. And I'm kind of pro-life in that regard. You know what I'm saying? Oh, well. Here's our taxi driver from Santa Fe. James is checking in. Hey, James.
How you doing?
Doing fine.
Of course I'm going to talk about the gun thing.
Yeah, sure.
You're talking about the gun thing.
Yeah.
I'll have to say that when it comes right down to it, I agree with the socialist hippie 60s slogan, John Lennon slogan, power to the people. When it comes right down to it, I do believe that means a lethal deterrent. And I don't think guns are always designed to kill. They're a lethal deterrent. If someone's going to come to you and they're going to kill you, I believe when it comes right down to the Marshall Tower.
Wait. Their ultimate design function is to kill. I don't care. You know, if a human consciousness wants to intervene and decide not to use the gun for what
not
it's...
not to commit the crime.
Well, but the point I'm trying to make, its ultimate design function is to kill. There's no argument there.
Sure.
That's what it's there for. Okay.
To get back to the NRA thing that I wanted to address, imagine a person who's pro-choice, okay?
Right.
And they may support a group like the NOW, the National Organization for Women, or NARAL, which is what National
right.
Action Abortion Rights Action League or something
right.
like that.
Right, exactly. You got it right. Both of them.
They,
good for you.
They don't have – that person can basically say, I think abortion, when it comes right down to it, is the choice of a woman. It's not the choice of the government. And they can basically hold their nose and join that organization because they believe in that fundamental right. And
if they believe in that right, why would they hold their nose?
Listen, because – they may not want to associate with a lot of other people in the NOW or in the NARAL. They may just think, like, you know, there's a bunch of militant man-hating lesbians in the NOW. There's a bunch of...
But the only people that think they're militant man-hating lesbians are right-wing flying monkey freaks who couldn't find their ass with both hands and don't have a clue as to what the NOW or NARAL is all about. But anyway, moving right along. So I know you're going to make a point here, James.
Okay, no. I disagree with you because I've met militant man-hating lesbians who would belong to the NAR.
There are militant man-hating lesbians in your local Baptist church, for God's sake. That doesn't mean anything. Does that mean Baptists are militant man-hating lesbians? Oh, my God. Hold on a second. Now you push me up to the next spot set. Hold on, James. I'll come back to you in just a second. Ay, militant man-hating lesbians. Huh? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
We wouldn't need the police no more, because everybody'd have a gun.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun? Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Had a gun.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
Had a gun.
Nobody'd ever get shot, because everybody'd have a gun.
Makes sense.
Wouldn't it be great if everybody had a gun?
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
More labor strife in France has nearly 500,000 workers, including teachers, bank employees, staff at the Postal Service, and workers at state-run France Telecom, went on strike again yesterday over government plans to reform the national pension system. Last week, a larger, more broad-based strike all but shut the country down, but since then, many of France's unions have come to terms with a slightly revised plan. Others have not, and they say they'll keep the pressure on as a run-up to a mass demonstration in Paris planned for Sunday.
Tropicana, the way Las Vegas was meant to be.
It's one of the oldest casinos on the Strip in Las Vegas, but union workers at the Tropicana Hotel are betting their employer won't be around much longer. The Tropicana is no longer booking conventions beyond May of 2004, leading many workers to speculate that hotel managers are preparing to demolish the casino to make way for a new development. As a result, Tropicana employees want a guarantee that they'll be the first to be hired if a new resort is built on the old site, and until they win such an agreement, they warn that picket lines and work stoppages may be imminent. The Tropicana's 1,200 union employees were the only such workers in Las Vegas left without a contract last year when the city's powerful culinary union won a new contract from every other resort and casino.
Government workers in South Korea are lobbying hard for the right to form a union, and the government seems keen to the idea with one catch. Government employees will be prohibited from going on strike. But the workers, many of whom think forming a union without the right to strike leaves them powerless, may walk off the job before they get permission to. The union-to-be, which already has more than 100,000 members, says it began a strike ballot this week, and the results should be known before the end of the month. You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
Doug Stepman's good day.
on the IE America Radio Network.
She has a girlfriend now. She has a girlfriend now. She has a girlfriend now. She said, guys, don't do no more for me.
Spin Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
27
talk radio right.
Hello. 27 before the hour. Before we go back to James in Santa Fe, I've got just a whole clutch of emails here. This documentary that we talked about earlier, the Irish documentary on the massacre in Afghanistan, the title is Afghan Massacre, The Convoy of Death, or reverse. I've got a couple of ways that this is stated from emailers. But you can go to democracynow.org. Apparently, Amy Goodman interviewed the filmmaker, and I don't know if there are clips of the movie there, but if you go to democracynow.org, it was aired on Friday, the 23rd, last Friday? Is it? Yeah, last Friday. So there is some information at democracynow.org. Check it out there. And to everybody who sent that in to me, thank you. Appreciate it. I missed that completely. Now, back to James in Santa Fe, who is should be working, but he's calling the program.
Actually, I'm done. Hey, I'm going to say this. I qualify my my stereotypical name-calling. If you can let right-wing, bigoted, Christian, conservative, whatever, roll off your tongue, I can let man-hating, militant, lesbian roll off my tongue.
Well, the point I was just trying to make is that you will find a militant, man-hating lesbians in your local Baptist congregation. So what?
Oh, isn't that like the church lady from like Saturday Night Live or something?
Bingo.
There you go. Anyway, when it comes right down to it, most stereotypes don't hold up when you have a one-on-one conversation with anybody.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. You can talk to a person that's totally conservative or totally liberal, and basically I think most people have some sense enough to realize that, well, I may not agree with it, but, you know, I'll listen to you and we'll have a reasonable conclusion, or we'll disagree, or whatever it may be.
Well, I used to think that was so, but try having that discussion right now with a Wolfowitz or a Newt Gingrich or a Dick Cheney or any of these right wing thugs. I don't think that you would walk away, or let's say a fire breathing liberal would walk away from that conversation saying, "Gee, we may disagree, but isn't it nice to have a civil conversation?" I don't think that would happen.
And you can say the same thing, you know, the past administration and the administration before that, because they have the bully pulpit and they have power, therefore they don't really have to.
Well, I'm going from the general to the specific here. I could not see myself sitting down with a Paul Wolfowitz or a Richard Perle face-to-face with just a desk between us and having a civil conversation. At some point, knowing myself the way I do, I would leap across the desk and try to do serious physical damage.
And I might do the same thing to Dianne Feinstein or Ted Kennedy.
But those aren't liberals.
There are people who disagree with me politically.
But they're not liberals. And they don't.
They're not liberals. Trust me,
James, Dianne Feinstein and you are probably on exactly the same page on everything. Kennedy, probably 50% of everything. But anyway, you wanted to say that not all NRA members are gun nuts.
No. What I'm trying to say is this. People support a specific organization, whether it be the National Organization for Women or NARAL or the NRA, because they want... It's a means to an end. They can basically think that everybody in that organization stinks and they disagree with most of those people's lifestyles or politics, but they agree with them on one issue. And I must say this, the NRA, as much as you may call them all cowards, or I'm an NRA member and I'll admit that publicly, not that the government already doesn't know that, because they send me a magazine every month, and the U.S. Postal Service is the biggest Big Brother monitoring service there ever was.
Right. Well,
when it comes right down to it, people belong to NOW because they want abortion legal. They don't really care about the lifestyles or the persuasions of anybody else in that group.
Okay. All right. I get your point. Your point is taken.
I joined the NRA because it thwarts gun banners legislation. That is the only goal. That is the only reason I belong to the NRA.
All right. Sadly, though, here's the facts. The facts are these. One fact. Sadly, when the barricades go up, James, you and I will probably be shooting in the same direction.
We probably will, because people who have power really don't have political parties.
That's very true. James, thanks for checking in. I hope you have a good night.
I'm done, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, James. Appreciate it. All right. Now, before we go back to your calls, you got to hear some of this. 5 o'clock follies, and we're not going to play the music. We're just going to get to it. This is Ari Fleischer at the press briefing today, and we'll just take these in order. Some of them kind of connect, and I'll try to guide you through them. Here's Ari Fleischer answering a reporter's question on those missing weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. You know, the weapons of mass destruction that you and I know never existed to begin with. They existed in some form or manner prior to the Gulf War in 1991, but since that point, they have not existed. They simply don't. Whatever WMD programs of research and development the Iraqis had were gone a long time ago, probably as far back as 1995. But anyway, here's the question. Ari, it's been almost a month since the president declared an end to major combat operations in Iraq, and we still haven't found any weapons of mass destruction. So, Ari, will you say at this point that there's a very real possibility that we're just not going to find him?
No, I think you saw what General Myers said on Sunday shows about the importance of being patient in this. It is just a month, and nothing has changed your confidence that they will be found.
Quack, quack, quack.
And, of course, we have already had the successes in finding the bio trucks that have no other use than for the production of biological weapons.
Or the transport of insecticide, one of the two. And ask Tom DeLay about that, Ari. He knows all about insecticide. His brain is about 30% parathion. But anyway, yeah, we found those bio trucks. The trucks have no other use than for the production of biological weapons. Everybody produces their biological weapons in a truck. Stupid reporter, didn't you know that? Now, here he is answering reporter Mark's question about the 2004 election and W's horrendous record on job creation. Well, there's no record on job creation. There is a record on job destruction. Oh, never mind. Ari, in this soundbite, hints that Bush will win on the 911 issue, which is Karl Rove's strategy after all, right? Eh? Okay. So here's the reporter. Ari, politically, the Democrats make much of the number of jobs lost since the president took office. You know, they're Democrats. Is the president willing to stand or fall on the number of jobs that have been created when he goes to the voters next time? Now, Ari, I understand my question is really dumber than hell, because even fifth graders know that George Bush has lost 3 million jobs, not created any.
Mark, I think you have to ask the public on what criteria will they make their determinations about the president. And I think that you will find
what?
The public... What?
Stop it. I think you have to ask the public on what criteria they will make. No, Ari. 5 Supreme Court justices made the decision. The criteria... Oh, never mind. I'm sorry, Kathy. Back to the answer.
Mark, I think you have to ask the public on what criteria will they make their determinations about the president.
Quack, quack.
And I think that you will find from the public they will make that as a very sophisticated judgment as the public typically does. They take into account a variety of factors. They take into account there was September 11th, an attack on our country.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they will make their determinations based on the president's response to it.
Ari, the question was about the loss in the number of jobs, you jackass. September 11th? Oh, that's right. Bring it up every chance you can get. Now, what is this, Ari said, that the American public will make our decision because we're very sophisticated? We exercise sophisticated judgment? We typically exercise sophisticated judgment? Oh, Ari, God, you slid that in. I didn't feel a thing. That was just marvelous. The American public, Ari, does not make decisions based on sophistication. We make decisions based on the crap that the right-wing-controlled media spoon-feeds to us 24/7. Oh, never mind. I like his comment. They, referring to us, we take into account a variety of factors. They take into account there was September 11th, an attack on our country. Yeah, yeah. There was September 11th, an attack on our country. There was September 11th, an attack on our country. There was September 11th, attack on our country, attack on our country, attack on our country. There was an attack on our country, attack on our... What was the question about? Oh, jobs creation. Now comes the build-up to our attack on Iran. Reporter raises his hand. Ari! Ari, call on me. Ari, the Iranian foreign minister has said that his country has arrested a number of suspected al-Qaeda terrorists and members. That would seem to me to be like brownie points, wouldn't it, Ari? So what's the White House's response to Iran's pursuit of these terrorists? And I'm, you know, as usual, Ari, I'm going to pay very careful attention to the phraseology that you use vis-a-vis the Iranian people, because you know why, Ari? I heard you talk like this about the Iraqi people.
Well, we are pressing the Iranians to end their support for terror, including the harboring of al-Qaeda terrorists.
Whack!
Our policy on Iran remains that the future of Iran is to be determined by the Iranian people, and we continue to press Iran to end its nuclear weapons program.
Been here, done this.
To press Iran to cease its harboring of terrorists.
Heard this.
And the steps that the Iranians claim to have taken in terms of capturing al-Qaeda are insufficient.
What? What? He went on to say it is important that Iran live up to its commitments and obligations not to harbor terrorists. Now, if you are an astute observer, listener, Not to this program, just to the garbage put out by this filthy Bush crime family, you will know that the Bushes used the exact same phrase when they began to sell the Iraq attack to America. And that is, the future of Iran is to be determined by the Iranian people. They used to say, and the future of Iraq is to be determined by the Iraqi people. And the future of Iran is to be determined by the Iranian people. And the future of Afghanistan is to be determined by the Afghan people. And the future of Iraq is to be determined by the Iraqi people. The future of Iran is to be determined by the Iranian people. And you and I don't do anything about this.
Well, Mike, I'm going to vote in 2004. That's how I'll do something about it.
Oh. Okay. Now, on Iran's supposed nuclear weapons, and their missiles, and their drone aircraft, and their chemical and biological weapons, and 50,000 liters of this, and 100,000 gallons of that, and 2,064 miles of this. On Iran's supposed nuclear weapons, why should we believe the Bushies now, since they clearly lied about Iraq's nuclear program, right? Anyway, the intrepid member of the White House press corps raises his hand. Ari, call on me. Thank you. You've expressed some concern, Ari, about Iran not allowing the International Atomic Energy of people full access. Obviously, they've allowed more than the North Koreans have at this point. So in this administration's estimate, which country, Ari, North Korea or Iran, is closer to developing nuclear weapons? Which one? I really want to know. You know, my TV viewers want to know. Which one is close? North Korea or Iran? Iran or North Korea? Which one is closer to developing nuclear weapons, Ari? And how does that affect the timetable of diplomacy in each case?
Well, I've seen no estimates that I can compare one nation to the other. They both are sources of deep concern. And the timetable remains in the situation with North Korea to continue to work the multilateral diplomacy, which is having some success.
Oh, really? You've seen no estimates? Okay. Well, how about your own CIA, Ari? They have estimates. So the same reporter says this. Ari, you've said you've seen no estimates. But the public CIA estimate on North Korea is that it probably has two nuclear bombs and may or may not be reprocessing now. The public CIA estimate on Iran is that they are not yet in possession. Is that correct? I mean, after all, Ari, you said that you've seen no estimates. Well, I've seen them. They're at the CIA website. They've been in the newspapers. They've been on television. Ari, shame on you.
Iran has admitted to the IAEA that they are pursuing a full nuclear fuel cycle. They maintain that it's for peaceful purposes, to produce fuel for civil nuclear reactors.
Quack, quack.
But the United States rejects that argument as a cover story.
Quack.
Our strong position is that Iran is preparing instead to produce fissile materials for nuclear weapons.
Well, yes, of course. The United States rejects that argument as a cover story, so they have to die, you know. Now comes a very telling statement from Ari regarding Iran's possible nukes. I love the part where he talks about all the lovely fossil fuels to be harvested from Iran. The reporter says, Ari, on the claim the Iranians make that this is a civilian nuclear program, you just said the United States rejects that as a cover story. Why?
I think if you look at
quack, quack.
What the IAEA has indicated when they were there, the Iranian admission to the IAEA that they were pursuing a full nuclear fuel cycle. While we have not yet received the final report from the IAEA, we do indeed have concerns about a country that is awash in gas and in oil producing nuclear energy when they don't need nuclear energy.
They don't need it.
For their electric grid.
Yeah,
they don't need nuclear energy.
Don't need it, no.
To produce energy in their country. They have sufficient energy from fossil fuel sources, from gas and from oil. So that raises a concern.
Can't you just hear him slobbering all over himself, just drooling? Because, you know, he's going to go to the Carlyle Group or the Defense Policy Board or Halliburton or Kellogg Brown and Root or Bechtel. You can just see the spittle gushing all over his $2,000 suit, can't you? Ah, we have concerns about a country that is awash in gas and oil producing nuclear energy. Well, I'll tell you what, Ari, maybe they've decided they just don't want to pollute the air they breathe. Maybe they're willing to take the risk on nuclear power. I can hear it now. Our war in Iran is not about the oil. It's about freeing the Iranian people from a brutal regime that's harboring al-Qaeda and possesses weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear weapons. This is not about oil. This is not about natural gas. We understand that some of the most sourced natural gas fields on the planet are in Iran. But this has nothing to do with natural gas, nothing whatsoever. We're not looking to take over the natural gas or the oil fields in Iran. Dear God, this is about the fact that they harbor al-Qaeda. They have a brutal regime. They possess weapons of mass destruction. This is not about the gas or the oil. It's not about the oil at all. Not about the gas. We don't have any.
He is with a lousy proceed. He's a one-man, no-gut, losing streak. Nothing but a pencil neck geek.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Use as directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the word you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now. 1-800-823-0157.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
4 and a half before the hour. All right, I've got to get these last two in. We'll try to get a call or two in also. At the press briefing today, again, Ari Fleischer. And a reporter here wants to know about the rumors that the Bush crime family is trying to destabilize Iran in order to facilitate regime change. Now, Ari refuses to answer the question. He just makes another familiar statement about the future of the Iranian people. So here's the reporter.
Ari, what would you say to the stories over the weekend that the U.S. is considering destabilizing Iran?
That's why I said to you that the future of Iran will be decided by the Iranian people.
Well, with any help from the United States?
Yeah, our message is that the future of Iran will be decided by the Iranian people. We continue to get the message across about the importance of Iran acting as a nation that assumes its proper place in
its
the world.
Its proper place in the world.
Seek to harbor terrorists, and that does its part in making certain that terrorists are not able to use, or Al-Qaeda is not able to use, Iran as any type of place to have operations out of or just even to collect or be.
Yeah, you see, Iran is crawling with Al-Qaeda terrorists. Of course they are, just like Saddam Hussein sent 19 people to this country on September 11, 2001 to commit mass murder. Absolutely. That's what happened. Hell, 68% of the American public will tell you that's what happened. Yeah, with Saddam Hussein, who bombed the bejesus out of the United States and killed 3,000 Americans and foreign nationals. Yes, sir. Absolutely. It was Saddam Hussein. Yes, sir. Saddam Hussein. Now it's these Iranian bastards. Yes, sir. Iranian bastards. That's who it is. Yeah, that's it. That's the story. There's the ticket. Yes, indeed. They're harboring Al-Qaeda terrorists and they're building nuclear weapons and ICBMs. Yes, indeed. The Iranians. It's the Iranians. It's the Iranians. Oh, Jesus. I mean, these people are going to drive me crazy.
Donald Rumsfeld, speaking at the Council on Foreign Relations in New York City today, Rumi's warning to Iran.
Interference in Iraq by its neighbors or their proxies will not be permitted. Indeed, Iran should be on notice that efforts to try to remake Iraq in Iran's image will be aggressively put down.
Aggressively put down. We will blow the just absolute hell out of you. We're America. I'm Donald Rumsfeld. We're sick and psychopathic and we have nukes. Sorry, I didn't get to your call tonight. You folks on hold, I do apologize. We had to get those sound bites in. Try tomorrow night, please. I'm begging you. Tonight's program engineered in Detroit by Steve Damschroeder. Many thanks again to Jim in Arkansas for working some minor miracles for us today. Thanks as well to Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com for our website. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.